Well, good morning.
Morning.
Grace and peace to you. Hasn't this been a great time of worship together?
Amen.
This morning we're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. As you turn, I want to let you know that with the teens, we have been moving through the Old Testament. Just kind of a broad picture of the Old Testament, looking at the story and kind of getting an idea of what that looks like. And we have been zooming through it. We've been going through quick. You can ask the teens and leaders. We've been going through as fast as we could. So I'll say it's been nice to kind of slow down and look at a passage kind of a little closely. So I'm encouraged to do that this morning. This may be a familiar passage for many of you. It's a story we hear often. And when we hear or read stories in the Bible often, they can become familiar. And with familiarity comes comfort. And with comfort, sometimes growth is hard. So as we stand together to read this passage, my prayer for us this morning, and most mornings, and most times when the word of the Lord is proclaimed, is that we would read and hear this passage in a fresh way, so that we may be open to what God is going to do in us and through us this morning. Hear these words from Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together to Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You can be seated. This story comes towards the end of Abraham's story. Abraham has come a long way. He's come from that initial call and promise and blessing from God. He left his father's home, the place of comfort that he knew, that he grew up in, and he went to a strange land following the Lord. He had struggles with his family and with servants and employees and with neighboring leaders and tribes. He had struggles with his own faith and how God would fulfill the promise that he made. But there was lots of growth in faith as he encountered God throughout his life. Now, in this story, the promise has been fulfilled. God has given he and Sarah a son in their old age, and they have named him Isaac, or laughter, because isn't it funny how God works? Abraham's faith has brought him this far, struggling with doubts, but still following God's lead every step of the way. Now he's arrived. The promise is fulfilled, and he can relax. Abraham has become comfortable with the promise. Have you ever prayed long and hard for something or someone, and then that prayer was answered? What happens when God fulfills his promise, or when God answers a prayer that we've struggled through for so long? Don't you have kind of a weight lifted? You can breathe. Sometimes we tend to relax a little, to grow a little comfortable. Maybe we don't pray quite as much as we did when we were praying for that thing. I have to wonder, is Abraham still acting out his faith like he did before? Has he grown comfortable in the fulfillment of the promise? Seems like God is wondering the same thing. God has fulfilled the promise. God has answered Abraham's prayer, but God is not done with him yet. So, like has happened many times before, God calls to Abraham. And like many times before, Abraham responds. He says, "Here I am." Abraham is always attentive, always ready to hear from God. It's almost a habit by now to answer in this way, to hear God speaking and to say, "Here I am." The request that God makes takes Abraham's breath away. Sacrifice your son, your only son, the son I gave you. This seems out of character for God. This is not the God that Abraham and we have encountered as we've read this far. Not because of God asking for sacrifice, because God has asked Abraham to sacrifice a lot, but because of how and what he is asking him to do. It's different. Child sacrifice was a common thing back then. Many of the cultures practiced it around Abraham, and it would have been familiar to him. So in his mind, it may not have been odd to hear about a God demanding or asking for this type of sacrifice. For Abraham, though, this is larger than any other sacrifice. To be sure, sacrificing his son would be heartbreaking. Would be probably the hardest thing he's ever had to do. This is the only son he has. There won't be any more children. But beyond that, this is the promised son. This son represents so much more than a child or offspring. Isaac represents the promise God made to him. Isaac represents that blessing that God is giving him. He represents Abraham's relationship with God. Everything Abraham has lived for so far is in that. So Abraham hears God saying, "I'm giving up on you," or "I'm taking it back. I'm taking the promise back. I'm taking the blessing back." But Abraham sets out. He goes. He doesn't question God out loud, though we can assume that there's some inner questioning, some inner dialogue there. Internally, we can imagine he feels a mix of trust and hope, sadness, maybe some despair. As they prepare, cutting and stacking wood and packing bags and animals and setting things ready at home as they leave and prepare to head out, it would have become more and more obvious that something was missing. The servants and Isaac and maybe even the donkey would have noticed that there's no animal for sacrificing. The journey might have been noisy at first, talking and laughing, discussing the journey they were about to take, what they would encounter, the gossip about family and business back home. But as each person realized something was different, things would quiet down and soon they would travel in silence. The servants would have noticed and the missing animal and gave one another side glances and shoulder shrugs in their minds. As the country becomes more and more remote, they realize that four of them leave for the journey, but only three would return. They know about this child sacrifice too. Now, I want to say something about the word child sacrifice, just for a second. In our minds, when we say that, we picture a child, a young child, maybe a teenager at the oldest. But when I say child, I don't mean kid, I just mean son, offspring, Abraham's child. Because Isaac would have been grown by now. Okay, the beginning of this passage says sometime later. So some things happened before this, and sometime later, this happened. It's kind of a vague description of time. Could be a little time, could be a lot of time. But we can infer from the passage that this seems like a lot of time has passed. The passage gives us one hint. Isaac carries the wood. It would have taken a grown man to carry the amount of wood that was needed for this type of sacrifice up a mountain. Okay? A fit man, not just a grown man, a fit man to carry it up a mountain. Isaac could not have been a young child. But he was Abraham's child, nonetheless. And this would be a sacrifice. So they come to the place where the mountain is in view. They see it in the distance. And Abraham and Isaac go ahead on their own, leaving the servants and the donkey. Isaac, too, would have realized what was happening. His inner dialogue would have been similar to that of the servants. I have to wonder, how long has this question been on his mind before he had the nerve to ask it? They separate from the servants, and this, the Bible says that they set out together. They go together. Though Isaac knows in the back of his mind what is going to happen, he still goes with his father. He trusts his father who trusts the Lord. Isaac chooses to go with Abraham, knowing what might happen, but still hoping. And in here we see in Abraham's talking to the servants, he says that we will go and worship, and he says we will return. Abraham expects going there to sacrifice his son, but he also expects God to restore his son. Isaac finally calls out to his father as they're going up the mountain. He couldn't hold it in any longer. And like Abraham did when God called out to him, he responds immediately. Maybe stopping for just a moment, but not looking back at him. Abraham answers, "Yes, my son. I am here, my son." Isaac asks, "Where's the lamb?" Knowing the answer. Now, verse 8 is Abraham's response, and it is the center, it is the core, it is the key to this passage. Abraham says, "God will provide a lamb. God will provide." This turns the tables a little bit. Who's being tested here now? Is it just Abraham? It seems like God is being tested at the same time. And it seems to be on purpose. That it's part of God's plan from the beginning. Will God prove to be like all the other gods? Or will God continue to provide? Abraham hopes in God's faithfulness. They reach the top of the mountain. So many times throughout Scripture, God has shown up on mountaintops. This is one of the first, and it won't be the last. Abraham prepares the wood and the fire and his son for sacrifice. He prepares and he lifts the knife to slay his son. He raises his hands to the pinnacle of his reach and prepares to drop them. And then God provides. At the point where Abraham was in full surrender to God, God comes in and provides. An angel of the Lord stops Abraham, cries out from heaven and stops Abraham. And for the first time, Abraham notices a ram in the distance. Now, I have to wonder, had the ram been there the whole time? Was it kind of just wandering up there on the mountain? Was it hiding? Had it been stuck? Was Abraham supposed to get to the top and see the ram and then realize God has provided? Maybe Abraham went above and beyond what God had expected. But in the end, God had provided. The praise and the testament to Abraham and his faith is that he did not withhold his son from God. Abraham did not withhold the thing he held most dear. He did not withhold it from God. Abraham had now given all to the Lord. If there was one thing I would hope to be said of me, it would be that I did not withhold anything from God. At the end of my life, I hope this will be the thing I am remembered for. But I know that I do withhold, and we do withhold things from God. And maybe Abraham did. Or maybe he was tempted to. Maybe he was withholding his son from God. Maybe Isaac had become more important to him than God. We struggle with this whole idea of God testing. And as we read this, we wonder, does God test us? Is that right for God to test us? Can't he just know my heart and my faith without having me to be tested? My answer really is that God is a mystery. We don't get all the answers to all the questions. But from this passage and many other passages in Scripture, throughout the whole of the Bible, we learn two things about God. God does test, and God provides. And we trust with faith that God tests for a purpose and for our own good. Only being tested can our faith be strengthened. Only in testing can we grow. And in the testing, God is proved to be faithful and provide. Maybe for Abraham, the promise, the gift that God had given him was beginning to mean more to him than God. In the end of the story, God says that Abraham will surely live in the blessing and the promise. Now, the words here that the angel uses are exactly the words that God first gave Abraham, that first promise, that first blessing. His family will be huge, and he'll have many descendants, and he will be a blessing for the whole world. But here it says, surely, now you will live in that blessing. Kind of sounds like now you've earned the right to live in that blessing. But that can't be the case because it's already been given. No, in order to fully live in the blessing that God had given him, Abraham had to let go of his son. He had to give him up to God. And that seems to be the truth for us today. To fully live in God's blessing, to fully live as God wants us, to be holy and faithful people, we must not withhold any part of ourselves from God. That is the definition of a holy life. That is who we are called to be. So, God may test us in order to reveal our withholding. God may test us, but God will also provide. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray in just a moment. But know that this life of holiness, this life that we are called to live, is a continual and progressive giving over of ourselves to the Lord. So this morning, as we prepare to pray, I'm just going to ask the question, is the Lord testing you today? What are you holding back from God? Will you be made holy today by giving something over to God? Will you give something more to the Lord? Think about what is more important to you than God at this moment? Is it a blessing? Is it an answered prayer? As we pray, I want to invite you to pray with me. And I want to invite you to lay that thing, whatever it is for each of us, lay that thing on the altar of the Lord. And we have the opportunity to pray here at these altars, and you can come and kneel and pray and lay that, whatever it is, lay it on the altar and give it to the Lord. Don't withhold it from the Lord. You can pray at your seats, kneel or sit or pray there where you are. But this morning, let us let go. Let's pray.